Welcome to Season 2 of The Wayfarer's Guide to World Building, a podcast for writers by Mythos & Inc. Publishing. I'm Kyle.
I'm Emma.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Christiana.
Today's trope, we are talking about forbidden power. Special thanks to our patron, Brina G, for making this episode possible. If you are a patron, send us your writing, world building, or publishing questions for us to answer in our bonus question and answer episodes, which we record as a thank you to our Patreon supporters. While the power might not be evil in and of itself, it often twists the user in terrible ways. Whether it takes a toll on the mage's mind or body, summons spirits that are difficult to control, or requires human sacrifice, the cost is usually high. And that's why this magic is often feared, forbidden, and/or outlawed. I'm Emma, she/her, editor at Mythos & Inc. And with me today, we have...
Allison Alexander, she/her, editorial director at Mythos & Inc.
And Christiana, they/them, public relations director at Mythos & Inc.
Christiana, which forbidden power do you have to talk about?
So today I went with the ultimate classic that I think every single person in the world knows, and that is the dark side of the Force from Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So in case... for some reason, you don't know about the Force or the dark side, which I'd be shocked if you didn't, but the Force,
you never know.
I actually, you know what? I knew someone who one time was like, I've never seen Star Wars. What's a Jedi? And I was like, how do you avoid pop culture for that long in your life? And you don't even like through advertisements or something, pick up on it.
But yeah, anyway. I don't know, but it's possible.
So the Force is an energy field. It's created by all living beings in the known galaxy, and it connects all of them together. So it doesn't include created things like man-made things like droids, for example, but any living being has the Force. It's known by many names in the Star Wars universe, but typically the Force is what it's referred to. So since it's in all living beings, everyone technically has access to it, but everyone technically has access to it, but some people more than others. They're generally referred to as Force sensitive. They added midichlorians into the universe with the prequels. I know.
I like midichlorians.
I'm okay with midichlorians.
Liked it being mysterious.
I liked the mysteriousness too, but the midichlorians are like little conscious beings that have a symbiotic relationship with the host body, I guess, and it helps them interpret the Force, which I think is interesting. And I didn't know that until I did a little more reading into what midichlorians are and why they're there. So that's kind of interesting. But many organizations have come from this belief and reverence of the Force, and the ones that we all know and love are the Jedi and the Sith. To put it very plainly, Jedi are good and Sith are bad. And there's a very famous scene that has quickly turned into a meme where Anakin is, I won't say first, but very clearly drawn from the light side to the dark side, not fully converted yet, but it's when Palpatine asks him, have you ever heard the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise? And when he says no, Palpatine says, I thought not. It's not a story the Jedi would tell you. And goes on to explain how this Sith Lord had unimaginable power and the Jedi were keeping it from him. And it seemed like a really key moment in the story where Anakin started to take this dark side seriously and view it as something that he wanted. He desired it because it gave him this power over death, which was something that plagued him throughout his entire life. And I think that this is really good world building, A, because it's Star Wars, and clearly if so many people love it, it's got to have good world building, but it doesn't always have to be complicated. And that's what I like about the Force. It's good versus evil. And that's a tale as old as time. And there's a reason for it being a tale as old as time. And there's a reason why it continues to be told over and over and over again in many different ways, because it's something that everyone in some capacity feels that they can relate to. And it's something that is very ingrained in our culture. Mm-hmm. And so the Jedi good, Sith bad, maybe it's a little simplistic, but it makes for a really captivating story that's easy to follow. It's not overcomplicated, and it's not all that intimidating when you're trying to understand this power. There's good power and there's bad power. And this bad power can be really, really powerful. And that's why it's forbidden. And that is a construct that I think makes for a good story because it's so easy to digest and understand.
Okay. I want to talk about force lightning for a second. In all the, I guess a lot of my Star Wars experience is not canon anymore, but in all the books that I read when I was younger, only the Sith used force lightning and the Jedi never did. And I got the impression that it was like an evil forbidden power itself. And I'm curious why. Like, you see, Obi-Wan in the movies uses his lightsaber to catch force lightning, and Yoda is powerful enough to like just take it in with his hand and like absorb it or whatever. Yeah. But you never see them actually using it. Like, Yoda just reflects it back. And I'm like, why? Like, is force lightning, can you only do it if you're super mad and like being angry is against the Jedi code or whatever? What do you think, Christiana? If you don't know, what's your hypothesis?
I don't know the answer to that. But what I think it is it falls into the category of using the force to harm. When you see the Jedi using the force, even if they are using it to harm someone, like pushing someone off a cliff with a force push, pushing force itself isn't inherently harmful. You could be using it to push open doors or make a nice little breeze for your houseplants. Like, there's so many things you could be using that for. But lightning, casting force lightning is, I think, always going to create harm in some way, I guess, unless you're aiming it at a rock or something. Same reason why you only ever see Siths use the force choke, because that's another like kind of inherently bad thing. Although I wonder if that's really its own move or if it's just manipulating the air around it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think I would guess that's why, because it's scary and it's harmful. And since the Jedi and the Sith are so diametric, like they're so opposed, and the world is so simple with like good versus bad.
Yeah.
It's like lightning, scary, bad.
Yeah.
Only the Sith will use it.
Sure.
You think, Christiana, that the dark side, this intense power, can it be used for good? Or do you think that it's inherently corrupting? Like, is it a one ring sort of deal, or even if someone good wields it, it's gonna be bad? Or do you think that it's possible that a Jedi could use it and still stay a Jedi?
I'm sure there are examples of
in the vastness
of the Star Wars universe, whether it's canon or not. I'm sure there are examples, but I do view it like the one ring kind of thing, where I do think it's corrupting, right? And you see how it, I think we could also see that in like the way Palpatine physically shifts when using it, right? Like it's draining his body of life kind of thing. I think it's an inherently bad thing.
That's interesting, because I always viewed the dark and light side as not really different powers, but just how you're using the same force differently.
That's like
you're choosing to be evil and do evil things. Yeah. It's not that the force itself
is evil.
Yeah, that's how I always thought of it.
No, that's a good point too. And then there's also the gray Jedi, which again, not canon, but often spoken about, where it's understanding that those two things can't exist without each other. Like there's always balance, and you can't be 100% one or 100% the other.
I'd say maybe the closest example we have of that in canon is Ahsoka, because she does leave the Jedi Order because she just can't deal with their politics and stuff.
Yes.
But she still uses the Force and uses lightsabers and is kind of still a Jedi and is still good. So, yeah. My favorite character, FYI.
My favorite too. The best character. So.
Yeah.
So Allie, how are you going to follow that? What's your example for us?
I had an immediate thought for this one, and it is from Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Uh-huh.
And so at one point in quite late in the series, I believe, Team Avatar, which includes Aang, Katara, Sokka, and Toph are wandering around as they do, and they go into a forest. And they come across a trope that is quite common in fantasy, which is the hermit living in the woods, which I think goes all the way back to Tolkien in Lord of the Rings when the hobbits come across Tom Bombadil, and maybe the brown wizard when they come across him.
Radagast,
I think. Like, both situations, they've been like, they've been running, they've been, you know, fighting, it's been intense. Mm-hmm. And then they get into this forest and this hermit dude is like, here, have a rest, drink some water, pet my pet bear, you know. And that's become a trope in fantasy where the group of wanderers find a rest in the forest with this hermit.
Yes.
And so Avatar takes this trope and turns it on its head, because Team Avatar meets this old woman. I think her name, what's her name? Hama. I don't know how to pronounce reading it. And she takes them in and feeds them soup. And then they learn that all the villagers of the nearby village, or a bunch of them, have been going missing. And there's this mystery. And Hama warns them about it. The people in the woods have been disappearing during the full moons. Be careful. And in the end, it turns out, of course, that Hama is evil. And she is a bloodbender, which is a subset of water bending that we have never seen before. And she can basically control people by bending their blood. And it's super creepy because they kind of look like puppets when she does it. And it's really terrifying. And she actually teaches Katara, who is a waterbender, how to do it, kind of against Katara's will. She doesn't really want to learn how, but she's kind of forced into it, and it's just terrifying as Katara now knows how to use this terrible art that, I mean, I can see how you could use it for good, I guess, but it's just so horrible. And I think this is really good world building. I think this is good world building because it takes the magic system that we are already familiar with and expands on it. And I always love when stories do that, because I like starting simple and then getting more complex. And Avatar does that really well.
Are there sort of corresponding evil or dangerous subsets to the other types of bending, or is it just water bending that has this like sort of forbidden side?
There are corresponding or subsets, or however you would categorize it, but they're not really evil. Like, so Toph invents metal bending. She's an earthbender, and earthbenders have never in history been able to bend metal, but she invents it. And that's not as creepy as bending blood. And then in The Legend of Korra, one of the characters learns how to lava bend. He's also an earthbender. And so lava bending is another subset. And fire bending, there is a subset that plays with lightning. What's the character's name? Zuko's sister, Azula, does it. And so it's kind of, but it's not really evil. It's just really powerful.
Just powerful. So yeah. So water bending is the only one that sort of has a forbidden aspect.
I think so. And I'm curious as to why it feels, I think it's forbidden because you're physically taking away someone's free will by using it. It's kind of creepy. It's disturbing.
Yeah, there's no way to really use that without like violating someone's autonomy.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It feels gross because it's not just harm, it's violation, right? You're not just blasting someone with lightning. You're manipulating the thing that keeps them alive, their very essence. And that feels really tainted and gross.
I mean, I could see how you could use it in like self-defense. If someone was coming to attack you, you could just stop them from moving towards you. But you can only bloodbend on the full moon. So it feels kind of like you would have to really prepare for whatever you want to do with bloodbending. Because you only have that one shot at it. So if you're going to use it,
So I have never watched Avatar, which is something that I get a lot of flack for. But this, it's really interesting to me, that concept. And is that the only power that physically manipulates the body aside from, you know, using, can someone manipulate the water in someone's body, for example?
Katara actually does do that. She's in prison with someone and they're trying to escape. And she's like, I can't do anything. There's no water, but they're in a really hot location. And she ends up figuring out how to bend her own sweat, which I think is just clever.
That is
just using what you have. The Avatar really continues to expand on, like, it lays out the basis of here's what you can do with magic. Here's how bending works. And then slowly layers things on as the show goes on. And I just love that.
Although the idea of manipulating someone's sweat immediately gave me the idea of, I wonder if they can make someone pee themselves.
I bet they could if they wanted to.
That would be like the ultimate self-defense thing. Make someone pee their pants and they're going to stop. They're going to stop whatever they're doing.
Water magic in Avatar is very like, it's all about healing or combat magic using like, what's the word? Martial arts. That's what I'm trying to say. So that doesn't really seem to fit in with the Avatar mythos, but I'm sure it could be done.
I'm going to now talk about another forbidden power. And this is also from an anime. And I'm actually going to bring up a dark memory, which you've likely tried to suppress if you've ever watched Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And that is the human chimera. And I know a whole bunch of people listening just shuddered in unison. And I'm sorry, but this is Allison chose the topic for this episode. So blame her. But in the Full Metal Alchemist series, a chimera is a creature that is created by combining two different animals together using alchemy. This is pretty standard. That is, it's accepted within the world. It's been done. There's not a lot of advancement that's happened in this field. It's kind of just, you know how to put two animals together, but it doesn't really do anything and it's not super helpful. However, combining a human with any animal is strictly forbidden for what I think are obvious reasons. Doing human experiments is generally frowned upon, and it's the same in this series. And yet, as is demonstrated in countless speculative fiction properties, humans love to push the boundaries of what can and should be done with science. So, I'm sure you can tell where this is going. This is the case with Shu Tucker, who is a state alchemist who is visited by the anime's protagonists, Edward and Alphonse, because they want to go through his notes in the hope that his research could maybe help them restore their bodies. Their bodies were also lost through the use of a forbidden power, funnily enough, which Kyle actually talked about in a previous episode. So if you want to hear about that, go listen to our alchemy episode in season one. Anyway, while there, Ed and Al get to know Tucker's daughter, Nina, and her dog, Alexander. They're adorable. They're very cute. They're hanging around. She loves her father. It's a very sweet family situation. Just before the Elric brothers are about to leave, however, having discovered nothing to help them in their quest, Tucker reveals that he has made a breakthrough in chimera science. He has been able to create a speaking chimera. This is huge. People have been trying to do this. Nobody's ever been able to do it. However, there is something horrifyingly familiar about the creature, and Ed and Al realize that Tucker has used his own daughter in his experiments and has fused her with her beloved pet. In the place of the daughter and dog, there is now a tragic mutant capable of basic speech and who repeats, "Daddy's hurting, daddy hurts," over and over again. It's truly horrible and is one of the most awful moments in television history. If you have not watched the series, I do recommend it, but just prepare that this one episode is truly scarring. But it is great world building because it really shows the consequences of forbidden power, and it explores people's relationship to power. And since power structures are one of my favorite things to explore in genre fiction, this hits a particular spot for me that I think is fantastic in its absolute horrifyingness.
Would you say forbidden power is a theme in Full Metal Alchemist?
I think it is. I think the whole sort of structure of alchemy, you know, is that there is a one-to-one exchange, that there's always a cost for something, and the forbidden powers are sort of those areas where the cost is just too high, where it's, we shouldn't be doing this because we could do it, but the price is just too high. So I would absolutely say that that is a major theme of the series for sure.
I really like that. I like how Ed and Al go on all these mini little quests and adventures, and a lot of them just keep throwing that theme back at you.
I've seen the clip of that, but I never had the backstory. I am horrified.
Yes.
That is deeply disturbing.
Yep.
Do we ever see this character again? Is it explored further other than the kind of shocking and grisly reveal?
No, I think there might have been an occasion or two where sort of it's mentioned.
Are you talking about the daughter who's fused, or Tucker himself?
The Chimera, the daughter who's
fused. It dies.
I mean,
yeah. Which is also awful.
God, that's somehow made it even worse. It just keeps getting worse.
You know, a different character comes in and he actually kills it out of pity because it's in pain.
Yeah, it's I'm glad that we don't really see anything from its perspective, because I feel like that would just be awful. It's mostly sort of a standalone episode. It's not like an arc that continues through or anything.
The alchemists, actually, they want to take it to study it because it is quite a feat,
like the first of its kind.
This guy comes in and is like, this is heresy, this is terrible, and you're in so much pain, you need to be killed. And he does.
It keeps getting worse. The more I hear about it, the more unsettling it is, and the more forbidden power I am.
And it's interesting the way that it's done too, because it's super effective, because, you know, you get to know the daughter. It would be one thing, and one way they could have gone is just, you know, they go to his house and then they go to a
and it's already
and
there
and like that would still be awful on its own, but like seeing the way, like seeing the kid first and then seeing what it's turned
and
into.
the dog is also very
nice, and like Tucker just shows zero remorse. It's horrible. Like he's just so excited that he's been able to do this, and he feels totally justified, and it really gives a good perspective on, you know, what lengths people will go to and how they can justify their own actions. And it's a great episode, but it's very scarring.
Using the magic of technology to pause time for just a moment here to ask a really important favor. If you're enjoying this podcast and want to hear more of it, the most helpful thing you can do is to write us a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to our podcast. Positive reviews are the number one way for a new podcast to get more listeners, which in turn will let us do all sorts of cool things, like transcribe all our episodes, and from recording bi-weekly to maybe even weekly. You can go leave us one right now. I promise I'll keep time paused until you get back.
If you think this podcast is at least a dollar's worth of education entertainment, consider supporting the show through Patreon at patreon.com/mythosandink. But now for what you really want, which is, what should you ask yourself if you have a dangerous forbidden power in your world? Christiana, what do you think people should be asking themselves when they write this?
I think they should be asking, does it need to be super complicated? Do you need a crazy explanation as to why it's forbidden? Or does it kind of add to the mystery and an easier, more accessible understanding if you just say it's forbidden because it's bad and it's harmful? Full stop. Sometimes that can make for a more interesting story when you let the reader come to their own conclusions as to why it's forbidden. Or maybe it's just super straightforward as to why it is, like melding your daughter with your dog.
It's pretty obvious. Allie, what do you think people should be asking themselves?
Consider whether your power is truly evil in itself, kind of like the ring from the Lord of the Rings, where no matter what you do, this thing is going to corrupt you. Or if it's just the way that you use the thing that makes you evil, sort of like when you're a Sith, or if you're somewhere in between.
And my question is actually a little similar, but takes a kind of different perspective, which is, who has forbidden this power and why? Ooh. Is it truly inherently evil, or is it just that it could be potentially dangerous to the status quo?
Good question.
Very good question.
There you go, guys. So listen, there you go, guys. So if you've listened to this, consider using a dangerous forbidden power in your world building and think about these questions when you do so. Now, before we go, we're going to give you a quick update on what we've been up to. The hosts of Wayfarer's Guide to Worldbuilding are also creatives. And yeah. At the end of each podcast episode, we like to share a little of what we've been up to off air. So, Christiana, what have you been doing while not recording this podcast?
Well, I'm currently in grad school getting my master's. So unfortunately, I haven't been doing a ton of creative stuff. It's been very scholarly, but it is a fun exercise in trying to be as creative as possible while still being correct.
That sounds intense. Yep. What are you getting your master's in?
In professional communication. So it's very fun. Sometimes I get to write 10-page long papers about TikTok, and it is deeply amusing, and applying communications theory to memes and how we understand them. So it's kind of creative in a way, but that I'm really enjoying cool. it.
Cool.
Allison, what about you?
So I love Dungeons & Dragons so very much, and I am a user of paper character sheets. I know some people like digital. I still love paper. And I've never found one that has exactly what I want on it. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make my own. So I drew up my own, and it's based on class specific, which I really like, because I can go over and be like, I'm a sorcerer. Here are my sorcerer's abilities. And the idea seemed to appeal to other people, so I've started doing all the classes as a project, and I'm going to put them up on Etsy for sale, so you'll be able to check them out yourself. I think they're really handy. So far, my beta testers seem to really like them, so there you go.
That's amazing. I look forward to seeing those.
Yeah.
And for myself, I have actually, in the interest of trying new things, you know, with January, it's always a, what do we want to do this year? And one of the things I want to do is just try some new stuff. So I have actually started a graphic novel webinar series, which I will be halfway through by the time this airs. So every Monday, I spend 2 hours in a graphic novel course, which is really cool. As somebody who can't really draw, it's a little intimidating, but it's really fun to explore a new sort of creative medium. Yeah. And I'm having a lot of fun.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Love graphic novels.
Okay, there we go. All right. If you, dear listener, are looking for a sci-fi and fantasy writing community on Discord, you should go to ours at mythosandinc.com. And if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments, email us at podcast@mythosandinc.com or tweet to us at @mythosandinc. Until next time, fellow wayfarers, go build worlds. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.